Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you gonna pay?
And his partner, Feta Tapender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence and it is a very exciting episode of Wrestling Daft this week because I am on my own in the middle of the ring and I am waiting for Grado to arrive today, the hot tag. He is a working man. He is working away, filming two doors down. They're still filming it. This, all I've got to say, John, producer John is here.
Hello.
John, this show better be amazing. You know what I mean? Because it feels like they've been filming it for about 100 years. Our sitcom... We filmed that in 4 weeks, bang, done. Out.
Yeah.
All I can guess is they've had to be rewriting it and all that because they're like, oh man, this is like...
They had the Scots on the way, man. That's what it is. It's like the WWE creative team, man. You know, they're seeing what AEW are going, oh fuck, we've got to rewrite that now.
That's it.
You know, but, Scots is on the way. That's just, so it's like, I would say, Rab, if that means that you're like the Tony Khan of the Scots.
Don't ever...
Sorry.
No, don't say that. There's only one Tony Khan. There's only one Tony Khan.
Are you going to chant for him now?
Tony Khan. There's only one Tony Khan. Tony Khan.
Army.
I'm all done. There's only one Tony Khan. One Tony Khan. There's only one Tony Khan.
Tony Khan, I like that.
Yeah.
Tony Khan. Yeah, Tony Khan. He's our man. He can do anything. He can.
Can. Kitty, can.
Tony.
There's only one Tony Khan.
Have you been enjoying AEW this week then, have you? What's Tony Khan done this week, which has been out... That you found impressive.
Just everything about him, mate. It's just everything. I was watching last week, you know, the billionaires going into space, you know what I mean? Richard Branson and all that.
I was watching that. There was a fascinating woman that went in. She sounds like she should be in Chic. Her name was Wally Funk, and she was an 82-year-old female astronaut who got kicked out of the space program in the 60s for being a woman, and your man Bezos took him in his penis-shaped rocket up to space, and she was 82, and I thought, go on, for good for you.
There's only one. What was her name?
Wally Funk.
One Wally Funk. There's only one Wally Funk.
I mean, it's a big thing taking
Wally Funk.
Barmy Army. You know, taking an 82-year-old into space, though, it's a bit of a risk, isn't it?
It's a bit of a risk, isn't it? All I could think is that he took her in case something went wrong and they needed something to eat.
She had the wee tin of those sweeties that you used to get when the motorway services.
No, I'm meaning her.
All right. I thought somebody at the end of their life.
Okay. And so if they end up having to start turning to cannibalism, which does happen in space.
His grands always have sandwiches and trips and stuff. So you know, do you want a wee sandwich, a wee sucky sweet?
But I was looking at these billionaires going into space and I was thinking to myself, well, they think this is... It wasn't even really space they were going into, you know what I mean? It's defined in different ways. There's different definitions, right? But they were going up there and I was thinking to myself, should have started a wrestling promotion, boys. And, you know, if you wanted to, nobody's going to be chanting Richard Branson. Nobody's going, there's only one Jeff Bezos. And although I have to say, there has been times where I've been caught short people's birthdays and stuff like that, and I have been singing there's only one Jeff Bezos when fucking Amazon's had to bring me something at short notice. However, let's move on.
Right.
Check out this pitch for Daniel, right? Right, okay?
Right.
AEW Chicago. Lights go down. audience on their feet, silence, nothing's happening. Then static, cult of personality place.
Yeah.
The roof of the place comes off. Church bells ring. World peace. MJF walks out. No survivors.
That would be beautiful. That would be fucking beautiful.
It's been done too many times, though, isn't it? This is the thing. It's been done. It's been done. Sorry, I do like the image of that, but it's been done. Darth Sean reckons that shoot Hugo did on Toby was very similar to the one Cena did on Reigns on Monday on Love Island. Did you see Hugo suddenly just turning heel on Toby during the recoupling?
Now, this is something that I have seen from Love Island. Two Scottish boys have went in now, apparently. One here is an exclusive for you, Rab. Stephen Purden, you know, who does football, Daft Shell Suit Bob from River City.
I do know Mr. Purden, Stephen Purden, yes.
Soap opera for our foreign listeners. His wife is cousin's son is one of the boys that went in, your man Dale.
Well, there you go. Stephen Purden, you heard it here first. Stephen Purden's son is on Love Island.
Yep.
Purden's son, what was his name, Dale Purden?
Dale Purden,
DP, yeah. We like to call him DP, double penetration, we like to call him. He is on Love Island, his dad must be very... So I mean, Stephen Purden, when, you know, they do the bit, if they stay in, the parents come on, so Stephen Purden could be on Love Island talking to his son.
It's not really his son, it's his it's his wife's cousin's son. But then there's a backstory there as well. I don't quite
know. It must be weird, though, because, like, when you think about that boy, Dale Purden, he... has came up and his dad's been a celebrity in River City and stuff like that, right? And maybe he's been feeling, I need to make my dad proud, go on the Love Island. Make my dad proud of me. Yeah. What would you do to make your dad proud? I'll tell you what you would do to make your dad proud, make him properly proud. Okay, I can tell you somebody that's done it as well.
Who, what?
At a wrestling promotion.
That's it.
Take on Vince.
But that's what
Tony Khan's doing.
Aye, that's the only bit of Love Island.
Yeah, that's what fucking Vince did. Oh, Vince did that, I know.
Aye.
Vince, to impress his dad, he took out Tony Khan. I think Vince McMahon is sitting looking at Tony Khan and going, I wish I could horn WWE out of him. I'm telling you.
Aye.
There's only one Tony Khan. One Tony Khan. Adam says this week on NXT, Wade Barrett name drops mixed with Pat Linen. I didn't notice that. If they're not singing the song next week, we'll be disappointed. Hope he dropped the reference during the finish.
Good.
Very good. Well done.
That's actually Coach Tripp that sent that in.
Was it Big Shamer?
Yeah.
It was Shamer that sent that in.
And it was Grado. I had a song to mix with Pat O'Leary, which went on lines of Big Mixu. Do 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 the Big Mixu. So maybe if you're listening and you're in the NXT audience. I think it's a Jason Derulo song or something from TikTok.
Yeah.
But if you are in the NXT audience and you listen to this podcast, perhaps you could get a chant of Big Mixu. Go on next week.
That would be brilliant. That would be absolutely brilliant. Sandy flags up another excellent example of wrestling being used for transfer news, with Mr. Kennedy's ring announcement being used to signal Kai Kennedy signing for Dunfermline.
A lot of that's going on now. A lot of this is going on now. I think someone has caught on or listened to this podcast, has seen the synergy between wrestling and Scottish football. We've had Chris Kane, who signed for St Johnstone. We had Kane going up the ladder to grab the money contract, which signaled his re-signing of his contract at St Johnstone. Mm-hmm. And now we have Mr. Kennedy, who's also been on this show, go back and listen to it on the archives, being used by Dunfermline.
Amazing. And Mayor Football Wrestling News, Football Stroke Wrestling News, John Mitchell flags up an anomaly on Twitter and asks the question, why is John Cena following Queen of the South?
This is genuine. I looked into this. John Cena follows the Dumfries Football Club, Queen of the South, on Twitter. And I can't, for the life of me, work out why. The only thing I can think of is that one of the former players did a RKO on one of the other players as a goal celebration.
Oh.
Now, that's the only thing I can put, because I think that went quite big and viral, that they did the RKO and Randy Orton liked it and retweeted it. That is the only thing I can think of why John...
Maybe he thinks he's following Jimmy Hart's wife. There you go. Your wrestling joke there for you. Let's get political now. Daniel spotted a tweet for the former Prime Minister aide and Bernard Castle optical expert, Dominic Cumming, and it was entitled Breaking Kayfabe, Answers to Some Commons Questions. Read my BBC interview. So that's Daniel stepped in for us and asked, Dominic, your latest email is titled Breaking Kayfabe. Does that mean you're a wrestling fan? If so, do you rate grade one? Would you be willing to go in the Wrestling Daft podcast running? No reply yet. But that would be fascinating, wouldn't it, to get Dominic Cummings in? But somebody else asked who his favourite wrestler was, and he tweeted back that it was The Undertaker.
Yes, I did see his tweet. This is a thing. So it appears that Cumming is a wrestling fan, or, you know, I mean, but the thing is, if anyone in the street go, like, you ask you who's your favourite wrestler, they'd go for Hulk Hogan or The Undertaker, because they're the kind of most famous ones, aren't they?
So I'm saying Breaking Kayfabe, though, that's quite... wrestling fanny thing. You know what I mean?
What would you ask Cummings if he came on this podcast? We've had a politician on before. Remember we had your man?
Yeah, and it was a very good episode.
It was a very good episode. So he's not really a politician. He's like, you know, the man behind the man kind of idea. But what would you want to know from Cummings if he came on here?
That would be an interesting one. But I feel like this is the kind of show he could come on, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did. So let's try and make that happen. Johnny Popper says, Johnny Popper got in touch, and Johnny Popper said, maybe I was just really hungover when I watched it, but the Roman Reigns promo on SmackDown gave me huge Sopranos vibes. Acknowledge me, screams Tony Soprano. Heyman's wee comment and the inflections in Reigns' voice reminded I'm a Polly Walnuts. Interesting point there for Johnny Popper. Any other wrestling moments that you felt were influenced by telly or film? And also, Johnny Popper would like to propose a new name for me, Rab, Tony Stan. Duty is adoration of Mr. Can. I'm a Tony Stan. That's a quite good... I quite like it, Tony Stan. I quite like it. Yeah. I'm happy to be called Tony Stan. Any wrestling stuff that felt inspired by films? Well...
there's a lot of it, isn't
everything.
Everything. I mean, look at your...
Sting's fucking entire second half of his career was inspired by The Crow, and then The Joker when he was in TNA. Yeah.
I mean, The Fiend, you got to look at, you know, what they're doing with Fiend. I mean, Alexa Bliss is clearly the kind of Harley Quinn character. We've got your man Dexter Loomis, who's clearly a map to Dexter the guy, and he comes out to a theme that sounds like Stranger Things. I mean, the thing is with Vince, though, right, it appears like, you know, we've got the kind of Game of Thrones with Scarlet, she's almost like the Red Witch. Vince seems to get into a TV show about 10 years after everybody else, and then brings the gimmick to when it's about done.
Vince McMahon doesn't watch teleprograms. There's no way that guy who's that busy watches teleprograms. I think sometimes he goes to somebody, what is this? What is this everybody's banging on about? Explain it to me in like 5 minutes. Give me the 5 minute general overview of what it is. It's different for Tony Khan. Tony Khan would watch the whole season. He would watch the season, he would get into it, he would understand the characters, he would understand the, you know, the intertextual relationship between the themes and the concepts in the show, and then he would build from that. And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that stuff or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Instagram at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us friend at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week we like to separate the good for the bad in wrestling. The Undertakers for the Underfakers.
Should be the RP about it's under fakers.
No, but don't correct me there, John, because I said we separate the good for the bad. I swapped that, and then I made sure it made sense. I'm a professional, John. I'm all like George Bowie. You don't need to go, George, I need to step in here. I need to correct you. Come on.
But someone made a valid point on Twitter to me this week saying, I get really confused because the way I've got the graphic for Bury or Put Over, it's Bury then Put Over, but it should really be Wheat from the Chaff, so it really should be Put Over Bury. So I kind of confused matters there for everyone. So
just don't worry about it, John.
Apologies for that.
Nobody cares. Everybody's turned off by now anyway.
Right, aye.
Nobody's listening past. Basically, people turn on the podcast and they listen to hear if they get a mention on it and the opening bit. If they don't get a mention, they're like, off. I said, I'm not going to fucking sit and listen to a guy going like that. There's only one Tony Khan for a whole fucking episode. They're not doing it. They just don't want to do it. John Anything you want to put over or bury, Johnny? What did you like?
Do you know what? I've not seen a lot of wrestling this week, I have to admit. The bits and bobs that I have seen, I mean, going back to the Karrion Kross thing from last week, which we're discussing, he's turned back up at NXT and apparently everyone started chatting hardy at him. I mean, that just goes to show, you know, like they put him on the main roster. Jeff Hardy's got the pin from him, and then suddenly that's the, you know, he went back to NXT, and he, you know, how do you build a character back up who's maybe indestructible, and then he goes on to the main roster? Now they're all seen as like one company, and NXT's his third brand, and I keep going on about it, but it's just completely fucked him. I mean, it looks like they're setting up a match with him and Joe. Oh, I would like to put over, actually, that I would want to put over the promo between Joe and Regal at the start of NXT, because it was just brilliant seeing two old pros just jousting it out in the ring, and I really, really enjoyed that.
Okay. Well, I want to... Oh, just to ask a question, though. I didn't see Cross on NXT. Was he back with Scarlett on NXT?
It was kind of... Yes, but he kind of was choked out. It was like kind of vignettes. He choked out, decked Regal and choked out Regal. Obviously, at the time of recording it, I haven't seen this week's episode of NXT. It was last week's episode, so I've got a bit of catching up to do there.
Gotcha. I want to put over Baron Corbin, who I think has been... No, I would like to make clear to everyone out there that I have always been praising Baron Corbin for his work.
Yeah.
And John, haven't I always said...
You have.
He's a great heel. Whatever he gets given to do, he does it really well. And I think this new gimmick he's got, I think it's great stuff. He's really invested in it. I just love his look and all that. I think it's funny, I think. And it's
good pro wrestling. Like, I've went on weeks and weeks about the LA Knight and Cameron Grimes stuff. It's just good pro wrestling. It's good storytelling. It's progressive. It's fun. It's just what you want on the telly, isn't it?
And he's good. Baron Corbin is just...
Yeah, he is.
He's just good at being whatever he needs to be. I'm very impressed by him. I like him in the ring as well. I like him in the ring. What else do I want? I want to talk about Sting and Orange Cassidy.
Oh, yes.
Sting.
What do you think of that?
Oh, I loved it.
I loved it.
Yeah. I like Orange Cassidy anyway. I said this to you before. I like Orange Cassidy. I like his Sting. I think his Sting is funny. And seeing a guy like Sting, the pound in his chest bit was just fucking funny as anything.
The pitter patter. It was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
There was a guy, you know, when you get people like the Jim Cornettes of the world, tired of mentioning this guy's name, but you know, slagging off Orange Cassidy and the thing he does, know that. And you know, quite frankly, if it's good enough for fucking Sting, then it should be good enough for a fucking deadbeat no mark like Jim Cornette. No, the punters, John wants to bury Keith Lee, being treated as a jobber since he returned. He's been shafted. Wonder why he was off all 8 months. And wants to put her MJF. The guy's one of the best in the business. I think everybody agrees that MJF is one of the best in the business right now. Kev wants to put her Bobby Lashley. Looks like an absolute monster and is a great WWE champion. I've got a blind spot with Bobby Lashley. I kind of feel like I think Bobby Lashley has too kind a face. I'm serious here. An issue I've always had with him. I've kind of... See Lesnar, right? Lesnar can play that kind of monster heel because you kind of look at him and you kind of go, I kind of feel like he's maybe not a very nice guy. You know what I mean?
Aye.
He might be a lovely guy, but the fact of the matter is when he's in the ring and he's conducting himself, you think to yourself, fuck man, he looks like bad news. Bobby Lashley kind of carries a vibe of being a nice guy about him. I'm not completely sold on him being... Obviously, he's a huge guy, a strong, dominant guy. But as a threat of a villain, the threat of violence, I don't know if I completely buy it.
Yeah, I like Bobby Lashley, though. I like it. I just got a spot up. I thought they pulled the trigger. You know, the Hurt Locker thing was great.
Yeah.
It was really good. And Cedric Alexander and Shelton were brilliant with him. But it was just like, why did they split that up? But yeah, I can see the kindness in Bobby's eyes.
sometimes I feel, here's my theory, right?
Right.
About, you know, everybody always goes, why did they break this thing up? It was just getting good. Why have they split it up already? I think that Vince doesn't want to have too many of these, you know, something like the New Day, for example.
Yeah.
It's so big and it's so great and it's so over that you can't break it up. But see other stuff that comes rising up. I don't think Vince ever wants to be in the position again, ever again, where his company could live or die by the departure of a number of stars who are bigger than the company, which was the situation he was in the Monday Night Wars era, where, you know, personnel leaving could really take the legs out for under a promotion. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I kind of feel that Vince has in his head now this feeling like nobody's going to be bigger than the WWE. Like nobody's going to be bigger than the WWE. I think even the focus on the WWE universe of being, you know, it's all about you, it's all about the WWE universe, even that, like the focus being on the fans, it's you that's important, it's the WWE fans is important, is even that is like a kind of change in the narrative so that, you know, we never again have these big stars who could walk away and join an AEW and it, you know, it critically hurts us, you know, it's a fatal wound. So I think sometimes when he sees things doing well and rising up, he kind of goes to his cell, this is really getting over. Take Big Rusev, for example. You know, when he was coming up, Rusev Day and all of that, and then he, you know, and then he knocked the knees out under that. He seemed to cut that short for no reason, really. And sometimes I think to myself, it's just like, we don't need this guy to be super over. You know what I mean? We don't need him to be super over. We don't want loads of people in this company that are super over, and one or two of them could fucking leave and be super over somewhere else.
Well, what about Daniel? I mean, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk are obviously super over. And mm-hmm. there's obviously CM Punk has issues with the company. Daniel Bryan left. I don't know the reason behind that. But, you know, could that be, I mean, everyone says, could this be the swing of the pendulum like it was when Nash and Hall jumped? I also had a really, really good fan theory on, like, they should do an outsider's gimmick with Bryan and CM Punk and that would be fucking ace. But
honestly, almost feels bananas to be saying this, right? Because I love Big Sexy Kevin Nash, right? And I want to put over that interview you had with Stone Cold, by the way. I watched it and I really enjoyed it. Could listen to the guys talking forever. But it's an interesting thing when Diesel and Scott Hall leave the WWF and turn up in WCW and the impact that that had, that happening at the time. And then people talking about, you know, could, you know, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk going in? No, it wouldn't have anywhere near the same effect, I don't think, them going in, because wrestling fans are only dafter and they're smarter now than they ever were. And no matter how much we love Daniel Bryan and no matter how much, you know, people out there love CM Punk, we know that they're kind of done. You know what I mean? We know that they're kind of towards the end of their career. Daniel Bryan probably has some mere amazing matches in him, right? CM Punk, we don't know if he has mere amazing matches in him. That's, we don't know that. But them turning up in AEW, you know, would be big. It would have absolutely, I don't think it would move the needle very much at all in a mainstream, you know, for a mainstream point of view, I don't think it's going to move the needle really.
Right.
The thing about when Kevin Nash and Scott Hall jumped to WCW at the time was, it was a different time. They were, you know,
WWF was on its arse though a bit at that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a different time, and the difference is people kind of believed it. You know, like people kind of believed it. If Daniel Bryan and CM Punk went, well, all the drama that's followed CM Punk, there's almost like there's nae magic or mystique about CM Punk turning up somewhere. It's all that any wrestling fan will know in their heart is, you know, finally he's decided to agree a contract with somebody and, you know, MMA didn't work out and all of that. There's nae magic and nae mystique. There were people at that time during the Monday Night Wars when the outsiders went to WCW who genuinely believed that WWF guys had turned up to try and destroy WCW for the inside.
Yeah.
And it's that you kind of get back. You kind of get that back.
No, you're right.
There's only one Tony Khan, though. Paul wants to put over WWE doing things right on NXT with $1 Million Man, LA Knight, and Grimes. They flipped the coin for SmackDown. Baron Corbin, this bad luck gimmick, he's nailed it. Since losing the King gimmick, he's had his car repoed, lost his money in cryptocurrency, hired a guy to do a crowdfunder, the guy took the cash and stole his identity. Entertaining, great storytelling, looking forward to seeing where it goes. Good to hear some praise for Baron Corbin. And Paul wants to bury WWE for tampering with the crowd noise, clearly cheering Sami Zayn and singing his theme and Roman last week too, and then it magically stops. The Thunderdome's done. Let the fans cheer who they want. This is the danger with WWE realising, you know, they can, oh, we can play about with production a wee bit more than we used to.
But that's always happened, hasn't it?
It's always happened. It's always happened, but there will definitely be, I think, a wee bit of feeling within the WWE production team that, oh man, remember when the fans weren't there? That was quite good when we could kind of control what the story was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there'll
be a wee bit of that. And I'm a wee bit surprised, actually, that Vince didn't either create a new show or decide that one of the shows was going to happen in the Thunderdome and keep that for, like, you know, keep an element of that because, you know, the fans in attendance come and see the live shows and we get the fans there, but we want to keep telling stories and, you know, allowing people for their homes to zoom in the Thunderdome as well and get that experience. He could have sold it like that. And there would have been a show where he was able to control, you know, the response a wee bit more and stuff like that. You know, you wonder if he'll start to miss it a wee bit. Goshi wants to put over just how good it is to have crowds back, just how much more watchable wrestling is with a proper atmosphere, and put over the new Titan Throns on Raw and SmackDown. You know, once they bury how much WWE failed to push a storyline to its full potential and rushing them through too much. Well, you can say that, but the Roman Reigns storyline has been handled beautifully, I think. And it has been pushed to its full potential, and they're taking their time, and it's really working out. Roshi Boy puts out AEW possibly signing Punk and Bryan. I know I shouldn't believe it until I see it, but if it turns out to be true, it could be the final piece of the puzzle for them. We might see the whole Nash invasion moment of this era. And once they bury all the wee Mark sending Bryan abuse on social media about the possible move and branding him a traitor. Apparently 11 years of service and you're turning his brain into scrambled egg for our enjoyment, isn't he being loyal? I think if you're Daniel Bryan, you want to go to AEW, didn't you? You want to go to AEW and have some cracking matches with some of these guys, you know?
There's a real separation. I've noticed this really, like, built. There's a real separation now built between AEW fans and WWE fans. I mean, I'm just a fan of wrestling. I'll watch anything, but there is, it's like, you're either WWE or AEW now. There's a kind of line being put down the middle. I was speaking to guy Sean, who used to listen to the show all the time, and I said, where have you been? He tweeted today. And he says, you guys do a lot of WWE stuff, and it would just go over my head. And I'm just like, ah, but it's still, it's wrestling. Just put it on, enjoy it, you know? Especially what, you know.
Aye, true. But, aye.
But you're Tony Khan anyway, so it's only one.
Daniel Bryan going back, you know, going into AEW. You just know that's something he would want to do because he loves wrestling. You know what I mean? And he won't care about the money. He won't care about any of that. What Daniel Bryan will want is some more great matches before he finishes up. And he'll want to wrestle some new people that he's not wrestled before or no wrestled in a while. And that's why listen, CM Punk doesn't love wrestling.
No, do you not think?
I don't think CM Punk loves wrestling. I don't think you love wrestling and sit out for as long as he's sat out. He doesn't love it. He doesn't love it, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he did it one time, you know, maybe he get soured on it. But I don't think, so I think that guy's there for a payday if he comes to AEW, you know what I mean? Whereas I think Daniel Bryan is there to make to cement his legacy, you know? Giza Gobbledygooker puts over Roman Reigns' promo on Cena last Friday night. LA Knight and Grimes Butler angle in NXT is just wonderful. Reginald's hidden trampoline entrance. Sin Cara ripoff, but he does it with style. And he wants to bury Raw. It's just no enjoyable trying to watch 3 hours of that shite every week. It's too, I can't believe it's still 3 hours. It doesn't work. No. Colin wants to bury Nikki Cross on Raw. Lovely girl, but the gimmick sucks, he says. And wants to put over Punk and Brian, who will be absolute needle movers. AEW. Amazing. So obviously the punters totally disagreeing with what I'm saying here. Dale, no burying anybody this week. Just glad the fans are back, but he's 100% putting over Paul Heyman. The guy is comically on another planet. Is that him singing Cena's entrance theme?
Have you seen this, Rab? Yeah, yeah. I'm singing, so you have seen this, yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, I was going to play a clip there, but if you haven't seen it, go and check it out, because I won't do it justice by playing the audio. Paul Heyman singing John Cena's entrance music, absolutely brilliant.
You just made the list!
It's the hot tag, and look who's ran into the ring. It's Grado!
Are you saying it, John Boy? Listen, how's it been tonight?
It's been a fantastic show so far, Grado. You missed so much chat. I mean, we can go back and let's look at some of the chat you've missed out on. We talked about...
Yeah, it's been shite.
No, we talked about Wade Barrett apparently mentioned Mixu Patalainen on NXT the other day there.
Oh, would that be due to his links at...
Preston?
Did Mixu Patalainen...
He played for Bolton, didn't he?
I play for Bolton now, I play for Preston, but he knows all, mate, he knows all the obscure stuff. I remember talking to him about football at World of Sport, man. He likes the Rangers anyway, that's all that matters.
Adam Shame, Coach Tripp, told us this, and he says that maybe we should get the NXT audience to learn the Mixu Patalainen song, which we sing on Football Daft.
Right, and then to what name? To who?
Well, Big Mick Sue. Da, 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 Big Mick
Sue. Big Mick Sue. Da, da, da. Oh, right, because Wade Barrett, how the hell why did he bring him up?
I've no idea, but I didn't see it. A couple other things you missed out on, Grado.
No, do you know what? Do you know what? The funniest thing I ever heard on Off the Ball one day when somebody texted in. Maybe you know how we do puns. They do puns as well, and they were and they were doing like the drugs 11.
Right, Mixu Patalainen.
It was somebody suggested Mixu Snortalainen.
Brilliant. Did they read that out?
He did.
That's very risky for the BBC, isn't it? A couple other things you missed. John Cena follows Queen of the South on Twitter. We don't know why, but it's interesting. Dunfermline side Kai Kennedy. I think he was a Rangers player at one point. And they used Mr. Kennedy for that chat.
I saw that. That was funny. But the John Cena thing, I mean, how many folk does he follow? Does he not follow like 650,000 people?
Well,
I used to laugh at wrestlers that would go and post a screen grab and go, oh my God, John Cena follows me.
Does he follow you, obviously?
I don't even know, but I remember just seeing other wrestlers getting a notification and screenshotting and going, put it on their own Facebook, and I thought, oh my God, the usual suspects. Davey Blaze definitely done it.
Other things we've talked about. Dominic Cumming appears to be a wrestling fan. You a fan of Dominic Cumming?
Well, I mean, I don't know a lot about him. That was a geezer that blamed his eyesight, didn't he?
That's right.
But do you know what? It doesn't surprise me because, well, sure, we had that mad fucking politician on not that long ago.
Aye.
And he was writing it.
He was garbage. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we've kind of missed out on that. We talked a bit about the buddies and putovers, talked about what's going on, but that was all wrestling chat. Grado, you wouldn't have been interested in that. But we're doing the list of wrestling daft now, right? And this is something I think you're going to be interested in, right? So basically, we got everyone to go on patreon.com/wrestlingdaft and vote on what they wanted to talk about this week. Right now, I put up one and I put up another one dedicated to you, right? So it was off the back of the news that CM Punk might be coming to AEW. I said, right, what's CM Punk's best moments, right? So put that up against what are the best wrestling video packages. Now, I think this is something that you'll enjoy talking about. And with 73% of the vote, it was the best video packages that won, Grado.
Well, you know what? The video packages are one of the best things about wrestling because I honestly think that wrestling video packages 20 years ago, I think we guys that watched it when they were young who have went on to work for the likes of Satata and BT and BBC, I reckon that they all get inspiration for the likes of these videos because you never got these 20 years ago.
Nope, you're right.
And with the amount of folk, I'm telling you, they paved the way they paved the way for all these music videos that now spice up basically everything.
Well, we had one of our early episodes, go back and check it out. David Sahadi, who you're a big fan of, and did all, he had some really interesting chat about that, didn't he?
Oh, well, he did, because he apparently was the guy who created the WrestleMania 17 video, which is obviously the majority of folks' number one. But I don't know if I've ever said during the show, probably never. And I don't mind saying it now because they'll never fucking listen to this podcast. But, you know, a lot of people, because I would bring up the WrestleMania 17 video package to him, and a lot of folk backstage in TNA went, "He's talking shite." he might have done something for it, but he never put it on there, which could be wrong, I don't know. But you know, the Sahadi love in with everybody. When Sahadi was in TNA.
By the way, TNA, this is the first mention we've had of TNA in the podcast so far, so done.
Never. I do. Sahadi, the great guy that done all the video packages, he we done a meet and greet at Wembley when we done British Boot Camp. And he was like our minder. So he took us to the backstage area, took us to the front, had like a big yellow hat one, was putting people in queues and dragging people away. And I thought, man, why is he not sitting at the computer fucking cutting and pasting bits of footage? It's as if when you went to trips to school and folks, Mars and Feathers came and help along. That's what he was like. He was just like a wee helper running about. I've never actually saw him do any editing work. He was just always walking about and drinking coffee. So poor Sahadi's getting in the neck of the night.
Poor Sahadi. He was a lovely gent when he came on the podcast as well. Right, Grado. Right, caught in Rab's absence, since you've taken the hot tag, you're going to have to do the list this week. So have you got top three video packages for us?
Right, so it's got to be the Gear, the Hall of Fame ceremony. It might have been 2004, somebody will confirm it. When Bobby Heenan got inducted into the Hall of Fame, right?
Ooh.
And they done a big package of all the inductees. And then right at the end, which it was obviously made by this wee quote, but every time I watch it, I fucking buckle. I agree. And it's, you know, see the Hall of Fame music. And then Bobby Heenan goes, "I just wish Monsoon was here."
Oh, man.
You ever saw that? No.
I've not seen that, no.
Hey, I'll get you, man. It's honestly, folks, take this on YouTube. Hall of Fame package. Right. 2004. He just goes, "I just wish Monsoon was here." Oh, I mean, you actually can I fucking well enough a wee bit when I think about it, man? That's the first one that comes into mind.
Right, so that's
three. Number two. I kind of pick two, right? So I'm just going to tell you some of my wee bits and bobs at point.
We're strapping the top three this week, and you just got to tell us all your favourite ones.
Aye, I love, right? Cage of Death 4, right? They had a Linkin Park song. And back in the day, an indie company did a video package. It was fucking unheard of.
Yeah.
And it was superb. It was like a build up of CCW all that year. And then also, 2003, CCW done a pay-per-view called Live Again. And I reckon they just got it off a Seven Dust song. This Seven Dust Live Again song. People are going to tweet me this week and thank me for introducing me to them this song. And it was a great video package. I'm sure Son J-Duck wrestled Ruckus on the show. And I'm always bringing it up to him. I suppose he's only video packages and music, but I mean, I love I love you, mate. It was a Survivor song. That at Survivor Series 2002, the Bad Blood music video, Trapped and Headstrong. And then obviously the other WrestleMania. I mean, I love seeing all that WrestleMania shit, see all that. What was it? What is it they always say again? This is our Super Bowl. This is our, you know, basketball has the MLB and hockey has the Stanley Cup. This is our Stanley. Ken, all that shit. I love that. WrestleMania's. But number one, just with it, I mean, this is just pathetic, but I mean, it is. There's no point in saying this, but the My Way music video is just,
yeah,
that is just for that. You just need to watch that every WrestleMania to get yourself G'd up for it. So amazing. Loved the music video. Loved it. Just the way it was done with The Rock and Stone Cold. It gets emotional every time I watch it. And it's just something that I probably watch every other week.
Do you want to hear what the punters have said then?
Nah.
Yeah, I think you'll be inspired by some of these because I've got a feeling, Grado, you're going to go, oh, what about that one when you hear it?
Right, okay.
Right, here we go. Ian Drew, Dice Clay, one of our regular listeners, one big fan of the show, and thank you for that. By the way, he's told kayfabing me. Ian Drew, Dice Clay, gets in touch all the time, gets involved with us, and I said, oh, mate, I'd love to get you on the running. He's totally blanked me. Totally blanked me.
Nah, he won't do that.
Oh,
he's not. I'm surprised you even thought that he would, man. I'm sure guys like him just have guises. It's right. Like the guy, you know, the guy on I know he lives in Dublin, but the boy SODUTW. You seen that guy on Twitter?
Yep.
These right. Guys are mysterious. They love the gimmick.
They're like luchadors. Then they're like wrestling Mark luchadors. I quite like that.
They so, will not. Yep. You will never. You know what I mean? You'll never find out this guy's life. They just love the gimmick. I would love 24/7.
Right, Ian Drew Dice Clay, please. I'd love you. You can come on in the mask and just be mysterious. That'd be cool. Anyway, he says, Over the Edge 98 was unreal at the time. David Sahari delivered some masterpieces at the time with his ability to tie in angles and interviews into mini trailers for the pay-per-views. Austin and Undertaker set to Highway to Hell was one of the best ever as well. Do you remember that one?
I do, but he's got a point. See when you think about it, remember Raw every week before every Raw SmackDown, they would always do a build up video for the week before.
Yes,
you know, do they still do that?
No, they don't. They do a kind of previously on Raw and they don't have it really set to music or anything like that anymore. He says, you just look at the chaos and the two giant acts set to an AC/DC track with fire and bombs going off, and you see why WCW wasn't coming back from the WWF. Was so of its time. That's right. It's because, I mean, everyone always says doesn't matter if you've got WCW, AEW, whatever. WWE just do this stuff the best, don't they?
Aye. Nah. They it's like even like the documentaries and stuff like that, they're clearly hiring the best folk. Production values, whatever, is second to none. It'd be interesting to kind of get a wee kind of behind the scenes about how they do the actual music videos and how they sit down and get it. And you know, I wonder, you know, because I found out, I don't know if I should break kayfabe in this, but I didn't know that the radio are prepared for stuff.
Yes, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've worked in radio all my days, so we are prepared, like, for people who pass away, for example, you'll have, I guess, you know, a Deadpool, you know, pretty much. You'll see people, so you've got packages ready for people to go because, you know, they're getting older and they may pass away, so your news team are always ready with these packages so they can get them on the air. As you know, if the Queen passes away or one of the royal members, you're ready to go and there's all behind the scenes, so you'll find out on radio, like, you'll find out and all the media will find out before anyone else that the Queen has passed away or... you know, Prince Charles has passed away, and you'll find out, and you see, so you're ready to go. Like, you'll find out 10, 15 minutes before everyone else, so you're ready to go everything. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. I found that very, very interesting. And it's not even just royal family, it's no. Celebrities as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they really have people working on, you know, tributes ready to go.
We've got, I mean, and you know, in radio, you've got tributes ready, packages ready to go. I've seen guys. Getting the old reel to reels out and getting footage off from the reel to reels, like the tapes and all that sort of stuff from interviews from like way back in the 80s and things like that.
I would reckon what you've just said is probably going to be that was really interesting for folk. I'm not joking. I find shit like that very, very interesting.
Well, there you go. You're behind the curtain.
And I reckon, you know, the WWE, they've probably got a wee Deadpool.
Do you know what? You're probably right, Grado. They've probably got like older wrestlers that they think are ready to go. You're right. Scott Reed from ICW.
Jake's been lying there. Jake's think's been lying. Has been lying.
Yep.
He does his ass.
Scott Reed, who's a man who knows something about a video package he works for ICW.
Brilliant in it as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe I'm not even bringing... Sorry, Mel. Okay, I mean, he's done a great video package for me and Drew. I'm sure it was Scott.
Yeah,
he's shit hot of that stuff.
Yeah, Scott's brilliant. All the stuff that ICW do, it's all down to... Well, all the video stuff's pretty much down to Scott. But here's his top three grade. Rock Austin, my way, up there. Taker Michaels, WrestleMania 26, running up that hill, the placebo version. Remember that one?
You know what? I mean, I don't know if I remember that, only reason because that was the night, you know, we watched it in campus. I watched it with Adam Shame, and then the night, you know, they cut the feed off because they had to get to the booze on foot or throwing chairs about me. I mean, sure, but...
Go check that one out then if you've not seen it, because a few people have been saying that. Triple H, Cactus Jack, Rumble 2000.
That's a good one. But do you know what I've just remembered? I can't actually believe it. No, here's my favourite. Fucking Triple H, Beautiful Day.
Oh, yeah.
Has anybody suggested that?
No one has suggested that. No one. That was injury. Come back from injury, wasn't it?
They'd done it for like a month and then he came back at the garden. It was a beautiful day, man. Wow, that was incredible.
There you go. Falcon has been in touch. His Shawn Michaels Hall of Fame induction video package was pretty sweet. So many great memories all came flooding back. I don't remember Shawn Michaels. You, the Hall of Fame, so you, do you remember Shawn Michaels one?
Well, I was at the Hall of Fame induction when Michaels was there. And listen, that's right. You'll never believe this. I'll probably definitely say that or not. I was here with my mate Jordan, who watches. Oh, he listens to the show, by the way. I saw him at a wedding. He goes, I can't believe you've never mentioned me on Wrestling Daft, because he was in the British Wrestler with me. He was the guy down the beach taking videos.
Oh, was he?
The guy down the beach.
When you jump into the water, is that Jordan filming it? And you've got the car on the beach and all that. Is that him?
That's him. So I was at Mania with him and Stuart Morrison, another mate, and we were in Atlanta and we had our shots and ties and we fought with the Snooks, man. We bought a steak each at this big fancy place in Atlanta called the Morton Steakhouse. We got all dolled up, we go there, half cut, and I remember Shawn Michaels came out and I shouted something. I can't remember a shit.
Tell me you're just a sexy boy or something like that, did you?
No, it was somewhere. Oh, you're still Sean. I was getting something Scottish to try and pop them. Like, right? And they were the lie, watch it back. And Shawn Michaels goes, and I don't know if it's anything to do, but Shawn Michaels went, hey, no, Kick Harley. I swear to God, it was to be.
And so if we all go back and watch Shawn Michaels' entrance to the Hall of Fame.
Aye.
He references you. This is a new story.
I swear to God, I would never lie about this. I would get Jordan to come on and back me up. I swear to God, right. I shouted something like, "Well, you're so big," and he went, "Hey, no cat calling."
Amazing. Right, please go in now. Everybody, go on to the network and look up the Hall of Fame to see if you can see Grado. That is amazing, chat.
If it was live, it'll definitely be out there. If it was pre-recorded, it'll probably cut out. But if it was live, 100,000%. Swear right. My most great, whatever you say.
Right, check that out. Sean says, Austin vs. Rock, WrestleMania 17. Cena versus Punk at Money in the Bank. And Taker versus Michaels at WrestleMania 26. Oh, here we go. This was always good to cut. Chris, as shite as Creed are, I have to admit, watching the Steve Austin Desire package set to my sacrifice brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, definitely. And do you know who? That was Lionheart's favourite song as well. He fucking loved that video, I know.
Did they not make, when Lionheart passed, did they not do a tribute with him to my sacrifice? I'm sure they did.
I'm sure they played at his funeral as well.
Yeah, oh man. Oh man, oh, that brings back a lot of memories. Fraser agrees with the Steve Austin one. Ian says, you'll never beat WrestleMania 19's intro video. Absolutely goosebumps. Check that roster. Legend upon legend. WrestleMania is the granddaddy of them all. I watched this. Ian put this up and I watched it. It is amazing. If you've not seen it, it's got all the wrestlers kind of talking. It's just amazing. Go and check that one out if you can.
I didn't remember that one.
Ryan says Triple H versus HBK Armageddon 2002. My go-to promo for a voice note in the group chat. Superb.
Remember? Oh, I need to see that. This is Brett. I need to go and check these.
Yeah. Brett says number one Highway to Hell promo Austin Undertaker SummerSlam 98. We've had that one already. Austin versus Rock, obviously X7, and Austin versus Kane versus Undertaker from Breakdown 1998.
Shit, man, these must be really good. The folk can call that back. Fucking hell, they must have been good.
Great, write these down because you've got a lot of viewing to do on YouTube. One for Rab. Unfortunately, he's outside the ring waiting for the tag to come back in. Kev says either the original Mr. Perfect vignettes where he was playing different sports or the second coming of Y2J in 2007. Was that the 2007 when he did the kind of big build? And it was all the kind of creepy stuff. And then he came into the middle of the ring and didn't say anything. Was that 2007
Y2J? No, I think 2007 one was the code. Remember he had the old code stuff? And he beat up somebody backstage, which I think spoiled the actual return.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he had his Gordon Ramsay haircut and stuff like that.
I'm sure
it was that one. The Save Us. It was Save Us.
Yes, that's right.
Save Us 0.22 or some shite.
And finally, you like this name, Mr. 55 says, the Evanescence, Bring Me to Life, Undertaker, Three Doors Down, Here Without You, and Eddie Guerrero, Here Without You, Eddie Guerrero, and the Evanescence one, Bring Me Life to Undertaker. So there you go.
Oh, Jesus, if we're going to be talking, come on, without a doubt, I mean, I need to change my 3-2-1 because I just remembered
here we go.
Eddie Guerrero hurt video package is just forever be the best thing ever.
Oh God, that would bring the house down. Someone also put a shout out up there. I'll just check. I think it was Absham on Twitter said the Dusty Road, bit morose, but the Dusty Roads tribute package that they put out.
I didn't like the song to it.
What was it?
I didn't like it. I've got it saved in my phone, but I didn't actually like it. Never did I. Hold on, you're in the library. I didn't like it, mate. Hold on.
After he passed was amazing. Him wishing everyone happy trails at the end of the video really hit you in the feels. I can't remember what sort of, right. What song was it, Grady? You might have to find this out before.
I should have it here. Raging Fire. That was Raging what it was called.
Fire. So there you go.
Raging Fire. I can't remember the name of the band was called. But it was Raging Fire. There was loads of drums and all that, wasn't it?
Well, there you go, Grado. Lots of stuff that you maybe haven't seen before. You can go and check that out. But now, listen, you've got to get out the ring and tag Rab back in.
All right. Well, do you know what, fans and peoples? Well, listen to this. It's been a rough old 8 weeks. Your old pal Grado has been filming Two Doors Down. He's been doing the radio. It's hard to get. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here doing this with my phone. I'm sitting here reading a BO. I've been delivered out of my bin. I have had Korean fried chicken.
Lovely.
I've had Mexican. I've had Topola Bambles.
Nice.
What else have I had? I've had Italians. I've had focaccia bread. I've had cheese boards.
And is this all on the BBC bill, by the way? Is this all getting charged to the BBC?
No, is it Nick? Is it Nick?
Aye. That's no. Fear is going by everyone. Grado Scran.
Swear to God, it's no. Look, I've wasted so much money this run because I get in for filming at night and I was like, obviously there's Love Island to watch, which is superb. Okay. Loving that.
Yeah.
It's kicking off now. Blood's been spilled. That's what I love to hear.
Oh, has it? We're talking about Love Island. You missed that chat as well, Grady. We're talking about that. It was a comparison of Hugo and Toby to Roman Reigns and John Cena on Monday night. So there you go. But listen, you've had a rough time, but we're going to be back to normal service next week on Wrestling Daft. So, but right now, you get yourself out of this ring and tag Rab back.
Right, okay. Tag. Bye.
And it's me, Rab Florence, tagging back in for the part of the show where we jump in a pretend car and tell a wrestling daft road story. We wrestlers on the way back for a show trying to pop each other using your stories. You send them in and we read them out, pretend that it's your story. It's a very complex thing, hard to get your head round. But it's the key thing to remember here is it's not your story, so don't cancel us. It's nothing to do with us. We're just reading them out. But let's get into the fiction of the world. We're getting in the car. John, you are with me in the car this week.
I am indeed. Yep. Let's start it, will we?
Let's get this car on the road, brother.
So, yeah, good show tonight, wasn't it?
That was a good match, mate. I've not seen you use that move before. Is that your new finisher? What is that called?
It's called the John Bomb.
The John Bomb?
It's called the John Bomb. Do you like it?
What about the Johnny Bag?
Oh, the Johnny Bag. That's a better name for it. Can I use that?
You can take that, mate. You can take that.
So are we going to get some food, or what's happening now? Are you just going to drop me off?
I've kind of got people to see. I should hook up with my pal, so I'll just drop you off, right?
It's your birthday tomorrow, eh? You're turning 44 tomorrow.
44 tomorrow. Coming towards the end of my career, mate, to be honest.
Yep. Macho Man went far, mate. Look at Hogan. Anyway, I mean, you've got plenty of years left in the tank.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't feel like it, mate, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll just tell you a wee story while we're working our way, and maybe stop and get a wee birthday card for you on the way back.
Why not?
So back in my days working at CityLink, every year members would go to Blackpool for a day trip. What do the donkeys get at Blackpool for their lunch, Rab?
What do the donkeys get at Blackpool for their lunch? They get, I don't know, like a poke of chips, but the chips have been emptied out, but a guy does a shite into the poke, and then the guy makes the donkeys eat the shite out of the poke.
Half an hour, like everyone else. Anyway, see what I did there. Anyway, we'd travel down in our private bus. We wouldn't take CityLink one, but we'd spend time at the Pleasure Beach.
Hey,
you know,
hey. Shitty Link, me like.
that's what we used to call it. But then we'd go to the Pleasure Beach. You have to do that when you're in Blackpool, then the pubs for drinks, then the long journey back up the road home. One year on the way back home late at night, I felt the urge to empty my bladder, so we were nowhere near the first service station, you know, like T-Bay or Southway or anything like that, so I asked the driver if it would be possible to pull over so I could quickly relieve myself. So after a lot of begging, the driver pulled over to the side of the road so I could quickly jump out. When I got out though, the thought of me having a wee in front of all my drunk co-workers made me quite shy. But I spied a tree at the side of the road that I could nip behind, starting my way towards it, but suddenly I caught my leg on the...
You watch out for squirrels with the wee acorns you've got in your trousers, mate.
I see what you did there. So anyway, I caught my legs on some disposed wire, and it hurt. I tell you what, it hurt. So I started slowing, you know, with smaller steps, just, you know, so it wouldn't happen again. Just couldn't see under my feet, so wee small steps so I could make it to the tree for my pee. Then suddenly I put my left foot down, Rab. There was no ground.
What?
No ground. I fell sideways, falling into the darkness and landed in freezing cold water. Couldn't believe it. The shock of the cold made me jump up and turn to face the bus, but all I could see was darkness and heard a distant voice shouting, "Ha ha, Jim's fell down a ditch!" I'd fallen 6 feet.
Your name's John.
Sorry, John.
Your name's John? Why would they shout Jim? Do your pals call you Jim?
That's what CityLink, but you all got nicknames. It's that CityLink banter.
Oh, that's like, old CityLink banter.
So it was like they called me Jim when my name was John. Like they would call you Richard, even though your name's Rab. You know, that was the banter.
I know.
Anyway, I'd fallen 6 foot into what seemed to like the smelliest, dirtiest water imaginable. Dug my fingers into the muck and tried to clamber my way out. You know, like a zombie pulling himself out of the grave. I stood at the top of the ditch, my complete left side covered in muck and this smelly, hideous water. Ugh. You ever smell water in a field? You know that kind of icky, like, lion puddle smell?
This guy would never have survived in the trenches in World War One. You know the young boys get sent in World War One to fight in the trenches, and this guy's like, "Oh, have you ever smelt the water in a field before?" Fucking smelt the water in a field? These boys were face down in the water in a field.
Anyway, Rap.
Did! Sorry, John.
Listen.
Sorry, Jim.
Now, standing next to the bus with everyone looking and laughing, still needing to pee, the smell was unbearable. I had to borrow clothes from the only guy that
was bad. Was the smell bad, aye? The smell bad? Was it like fucking German machine guns?
I had to borrow clothes from the only guy that had spares, and everything was at least two sizes too small. Absolute nightmare. Anyway, We stopped at the next service station. It might have been TAB, it might have been Southway, I don't know. For a bathe in the toilet sinks, and for the rest of the journey home, no one sat next to me or around me. And that is what happened on my trip to Blackpool with CityLink, where I got drunk, I needed to pee, and I fell down a ditch and into smelly water. The end. Did you enjoy that? We need to get back to the sex stories, Rab. We need to get back to the sex stories. Sex sells. All the good ones have been about sex.
A young man sent away for his mother to fight in a fucking meaningless war. You know what I mean? Just cut to ribbons, face down in a puddle. Dead. Bodies, thick with bodies. Bodies piled on top of bodies. This guy's like, I was a bit smelly on the bus. Fucking come on now. You bring National Service back for these guys.
Well, thanks very much to Jim Gray who sent in that story. But listen, it's a good wee story and I really appreciate like Jim going out his way.
That's a coincidence, isn't it, by the way, that that guy's name is Jim Gray. Mm. And that was a nickname that the CityLink people
it's an amazing question. But listen, it was really well written, Jim. I really appreciate it and really appreciate listening to it. But Rab, come on now. We've got people saying their stories of them falling down ditches into water.
Whose turn telling the story is it next week, Grado's?
I've got a couple of good ones. I've got a couple of good ones. Some great ones have come in. But come on.
Right, listen, while Grado's...
back the sex.
While Grado's no here, somebody send in like a really, really awful one for Grado to read. Like,
yes.
Somebody send in the most vile, debauched road story in the world for Grado today. Right?
Brilliant.
Right, and you know, he won't listen to this podcast anyway, so he won't know. It'll be our secret, right? So that's what's great about doing a tag team episode is we can go into business for ourselves here.
Yeah.
Somebody send in something really bad. Ideal if it's true. It should be true.
Yes.
But send it in. This is the time to open up because Grado's going to read it, right? Perfect, John. But that was well read. I enjoyed you reading that as well. It was well written. Well done, Jim. And well done, John. Well done, everybody. I think everybody should be really proud of themselves tonight for what they've done. I have to say, I'll be looking forward to being in the ring with Grado next week, you know, getting back to normal. Yeah. But that's it for another episode of Wrestling Daft.
That is. Oh, but can I give the contact details out? If you want to send a Wrestling Daft road story, please do that. Email wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Also, you can get us on the Twitter at Wrestling Daft. You can DM us on there. Or on the Facebook page, get all your Wrestling Daft road stories in there, please.
And listen, you need to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple. I can't express enough how important that is for these reviews. And all you need to do is like tap a wee star. That's it. And it's as simple as that. There's not much you need to do if you want to write some blurb as well. It's also great. Write something about how good producer John is at telling stories about guys falling puddles and stuff. Get that in there.
Five stars, Rob. 5-star review. We're on Apple.
But it's important that you do that, and it costs you nothing to give a good review, and it's good for the algorithms and all that kind of stuff. And mind, if you're wanting content, extra content, the video versions of the show where you can see our faces, I prefer to watch it, the video versions, to be honest, because, you know, you can tell by looking at us when we're kind of thinking fucking shut up about each other, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like sometimes I'll be talking and I'll look at Grado's face and I'll see Grado's thinking, fucking hate this cunt, man. You know what I mean? And it's good to see. It's fun to watch that. So get us patreon.com/wrestlingdaft and sign up and join the gang. Check out our merch, shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. People are still buying the merch. I've been seeing photos getting sent to us. It's good to see that, you know, a t-shirt or two is moving back out the door. And thanks so much for listening. I'm looking forward. Me and Grado will be together in the ring next week. Doing the business. John, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for covering for Grado the past couple of weeks. It's been a pleasure, mate.
We've actually spoke about wrestling now, but it's been absolutely amazing.
It's been nice, isn't it?
It's been quite nice to speak about wrestling for once. But listen, we miss the banter between the hot, you know, it doesn't work when it's Anvil. I mean, that's probably a bad example, but I'm trying to think of a tag team that went separate ways and they didn't do very well. So Stars, there was
the way I like the way I like to see it, John, is it's like the Tony without the can, isn't
it? Right, aye, that's it. That's like
it's going to be the two together. It's going, there's only one Tony can, one Tony can. There's definitely only one
road,
Tony
definitely
can.
Definitely for you. Up the road now. Up Go and road. Have a happy birthday. Audio Frontier.